Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Terry Savage, who joins us Wednesdays, usually a little earlier. The president took the first 19 minutes of the show today, but here we are on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry, how are you today?
I'm glad to be here. I was listening, as I hope all of our listeners out there were, and that was an interesting speech. That was a changing the game speech for some people. You know, I'm not your political analyst, but this was a very powerful economic speech that will change the political landscape, I predict.
Why? What did he say?
Let me make two points first. Number one, I've been reading a lot of stuff too. The president is weak. The president is, not up to it. First of all, his appearance and his cognitive skills and his speaking skills were outstanding in this, so far as we've heard this. And it was a great presentation. Number two, on the political scene, what he has done is aimed a dagger at the heart of what the Republicans stole away from the Democratic Party over the last decade or so. And that is the disaffection of the working middle class that went Trump or went Republican, et cetera, because they thought they were not being listened to. The people in the labor movement, the people in the unions, people who work in jobs that disappeared or their parents' jobs disappeared. There was a growing disaffection. And by saying that his program, which is, he says he didn't label it as Bidenomics, is going from the middle out and the bottom up and not trickle down. And you remember, I'm a pretty conservative economic viewpoint person, so I'm just not commenting on the merits of this, but saying that he is aimed at taking away, or bringing back, I should say, all those disaffected Democrats. And guess what? He's got the economic statistics behind him at this moment. He's got growth. He's got jobs. He's got people buying houses, consumer confidence up. So if he can sail this ship, if this wind prevails for him to sail this ship all the way to November this year and into next year, it's going to be very interesting.
I suppose so. I wonder then why his job approval numbers are so low. And it's been a bit of a conundrum, I think, for people in the political sphere to say some of the economic numbers are actually good. The jobs program is low. Unemployment is low. He's gotten a lot done in many ways. But for some reason, people aren't on the bus. And if I just may say one other thing, the guy looks great. He does well for somebody who will be 81 in November. I don't think his delivery of that speech, what we heard 19 minutes just now, was that good. I think he stumbles and bumbles a little bit.
Well,
and I wonder.
Well, we don't on radio. We never stumble, right?
Right.
Look, that's not the point. The point is that suddenly, instead of allowing the Democrats to be labeled by the Republicans, not in an economic sense, but as the party of woke, whatever that means to you or others, I think that his advisors, and I think it really, he believes this too, and this is what he'd been working on. Instead of reacting to all the social issues, he has grabbed forcefully an argument, which may or may not be the best economic argument. That's not what I'm talking about here. But he has now staked out his position. We're going to have chips here. We're going to have made in America here. We're going to have clean energy. We're actually spending money on infrastructure. We're going to put internet, high-speed internet in all the communities, and so on and so forth. He's articulated a message of economic growth. He blames the deficits, of course, on the Republican tax cuts. But he added to the deficits, of course, with his first bill in office. So there's going to be a lot of discussion about that. I personally don't believe people work to pay taxes. I know they work to keep an after-tax return. But that is not, I'm not discussing the foundation of his economic principles. I'm discussing that he's decided that the next election will be conducted on the basis of economics, where he is far in the lead at the moment because of what's going on. And he's going to call attention to it, as opposed to being debated about crazy social issues that have been frothing around so much recently.
Right. I take your point on that. And this business of Bidenomics, I think we're just hearing it for the first time. We certainly heard of Reaganomics, and maybe that's mm-hmm. where that phrase first got coined. But
sure.
I understand why he is embracing some of the things that are happening right now. But Michael Miller, the economist for DePaul, comes on with us. And he and I were talking about Reaganomics and trickle down. And Biden is saying that doesn't work. Mike Miller felt more that if you tax businesses and the wealthy less, that in fact there will be a residual uplift of everybody else and the economy in general. Biden is there saying that doesn't work. I'm just noticing the differences between Reaganomics here and Bidenomics.
It's 180 degrees, John. That's not the point I'm making. But people who've known me for a long time know that we still are. Art Laffer and I are very good friends over the last 35, 40 years. And, you know, I was well-schooled in the fact that people don't work to pay taxes. That's not the point. I could quote you all his statistics on how, yeah, the deficits went up at first because they delayed the Reagan tax cuts, but then we had an influx of growth and money and so forth. We could have this debate. I could get you two people. Mike Miller would be one of them on one side, and there'd be certainly plenty of Democratic economists on the other side. But that's not the point I'm making. I'm not discussing which is right. I'm going to stay out of that for the moment and say, by focusing on economics mm-hmm. and on the tide that he's swimming in, which is moving along nicely, that he has changed the course of discussion. And I think the Republican comeback, which is going to be tough to make at this juncture politically, is it would be even better if we cut taxes on the rich. That's going to be a hard thing to do. So he's got some political wind in his sails right now. Leave all the other issues, health and age, everything else aside.
President is talking about Bidenomics. They're still monitoring that in the newsroom. He's in Chicago. You heard some of that speech here. And now we are joined by Terry Savage. She was with us just before the break. TerrySavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us on Wednesdays. I've got texts and calls for you. Anything else you want to say before we roll in?
You know, during the break, I just followed the speech. I'm telling you, it's he just finished. It's a real performance. He defined Bidenomics as restoring the American dream. Now, remember what that sounds like? It's the opposite side. Restoring the American dream.
Are you asking me a question?
No, I'm sorry. My phone got interrupted here. I'm not in the studio, obviously. But restoring the American dream for everybody will lessen the divide. It's hard to demagogue what's working. It's just a very fascinating speech. I think this will go down in history as a really interesting turning point politically. Now, can we please go back to what I do best, which is not political analysis, but telling you to buy T-bills or refinance your house or whatever?
Well, what about this question? It says, my mother-in-law filed her Illinois income tax by mail around April 15th and has not received a refund. When I enter her information on the Illinois site, where's my refund? It does not show it as being processed. Should I be concerned?
Yes, you should be concerned. And I'm not as familiar with Illinois as federal, but I will remind everybody it's out of season now. This is like selling snowshoes in summer. But you always send your tax returns in by mail, registered return receipt requested. That's critical. Now, I suppose I hope it's not a refund that's going to make a life-changing difference, because I'm not sure how to get through the Illinois Department of Revenue. But if you want to post that on my Ask Terry blog, I will make an effort to find someone and post a general answer.
312-981-7200. Ron has a question for Terry Savage. Ron, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Oh, good afternoon. Terry, my question is regarding the interest rate. First of all, I want to ask you, is the increase having the intent desired as far as slowing down the economy, because we'll continue hearing that the economy is growing along pretty good. But then if it does slow it down, I know you don't want to talk politics, but how will that maybe come into play if it does slow the economy down?
Boy, you have asked Ron, you've asked the $64 trillion question. That is the $64 trillion question, $64 trillion being the real deficit of the U.S. when you take into account all the promises. Look, just today, Jay Powell, speaking at a group of central bankers meeting in Europe in Portugal, said, not only are we going to have one more, but it's likely that we will have two consecutive additional increases, the goal being apolitically to wipe out inflation, and the only tool the Fed has to wipe out inflation is raising rates. As we saw, we had great economic numbers this week. We had home sales rising sharply, more than expected in May. We had home prices up for the third month in a row, despite the higher mortgage rates over 7%. We had consumer confidence up. So I think we're getting the best of all worlds at the moment. And you're right, if that bubble breaks and we do have a recession, you know, things could change. That's, nobody has a crystal ball on that. We've been waiting for a recession for a while. But for the moment, the higher rates have not slowed the economy in the traditional way. What we are might be seeing, however, and I want to stress that we, as consumer people, we won't see this, but what could be happening underneath is a lot of issues in commercial real estate refinancing, a lot of issues in the banking industry, particularly the regional banks. With their investments, that they own bonds at lower interest rates, that cuts away at their capital. So the results of the higher interest rates, you're right, Ron, haven't been felt by average consumers. We aren't, jobs are great, everything looks good. But underneath, I think those higher rates are beginning to do some work that will slow the economy also.
Don't you think when the rates go down, that's really going to do a lot for the housing market, that will help churn the economy?
Hey, the housing market doesn't need anything done for it. The home builders are building in record volumes. The demand is there despite higher rates. But I think underneath you might see banks tightening up on credit to small businesses, for example, because the banks are concerned about their balance sheets. So there's, just like we didn't think about it this way, it took us years to see the impact of all the money creation and the years of low interest rates kept artificially low by the Fed. We didn't get the real reaction in inflation for a number of years. And some people thought, well, we've beaten inflation. Look, we have low rates and all's well. Now, I think we're not seeing the real root-cutting impact of higher rates, and it might show up in very unexpected places.
We had a guest on yesterday who wondered out loud if, in fact, we're not going to have a recession. Lag time, schmag time. He thinks that, in fact, we're going to get through this without huge job losses or negative GDP. We were talking about the markets, and I asked him if he's worried that it's sometimes just a few of the stocks that are lifting these indices. And then I quoted Terry Savage to him. I said, you know, you don't have to beat the market. You have to be the market, which to me means maybe I don't have to worry about the fact that a handful of stocks are lifting the market as long as the market is being lifted. So it gives one pause for optimism, Terry, that in fact, we might get through this without having to suffer a lot.
John, I think the jury's out on that, and I don't make a living forecasting, but I will say to everybody out there, don't believe we've beaten the economic cycles. That's always the attitude just before something really tough happens. And so the answer is not to decide, I repeat myself because I'm consistent, because I believe it. The answer is not to forecast when a recession's coming, but to decide how your portfolio is structured so that you have enough cash, whether you're 23 and looking, saving to buy a house, or whether you're 73 and not working anymore. You need to have enough security blanket so that if the economy does turn around and bite you, you're going to be able to go through it. There's never been a recession that sunk America. I mean, the Depression tried, okay? And we tried again in 27, 28, 29. That was, also something that tried to really sink America. We're very resourceful. The economy will always rebound. The question is, can you ride it out? Are you set up and structured? So if it does happen, you're not having to sell stocks at a bear market to just take your RMD.
630 said, when is everyone going to admit they were wrong about a recession? I believe it's still freaking out the big spenders in the country, and it's keeping us from excelling economically. That's from one of our listeners.
Well, the big spenders are spending. Look at car sales. Look at home sales. This is a diverse economy. And yeah, we have restaurants closing because they can't find service workers. But I don't think the big spenders have been doing a pretty good job of spending all the statistics I see.
This is Sharon on line one. Sharon, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. I just received the unemployment from 2021 about the overpayment, and they
are you talking about social security?
I received a waiver for overpayments in the CARES Act program.
A waiver
so
for
it's a
the
form to fill out, and I guess I would check. I was still collecting that $600 because I forgot to, I didn't report some income that I had collected during a period I collected it. So I paid it back in May, and then they said, oh, they might not, you know, force the people to pay it back, but I had already done it. Now, if I fill out this form and get the waiver, will they send that money back to me?
The answer is I haven't followed that, and I don't know. Do me a favor. It will force me to follow it. Go to terrysavage.com, post that blog on Ask That Question on Ask Terry. Be specific about who you're supposed to send the waiver to. I'm just not up to date on that, but I'll research it.
How does she reach out to you again, Terry?
TerrySavage.com. There's a button there that says Ask Terry, and it goes to my Q&A blog.
Are they clawing back overpayments from the pandemic relief?
John, I'm not an expert on that. I really have to do some research on it. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let me change the subject for 1 second. As we went to break, you said you got a text from someone who said, if everything's so wonderful, why are
gas prices so high?
So during the break, I noticed this. It's up on my computer here. Do you know that 1 year ago today, oil was trading at $104 a barrel? Now, anybody know what it's trading at today, this morning, oil? Under $70 a barrel,
yeah.
$69.50 West Texas crude. The oil prices have come down as global economic growth has stalled, particularly in China. I'm always astounded at how quickly gasoline prices can go up. Steve Bertrand and I used to do this every summer. You know, how high is a gas price is going to go because oil prices ticked up a bit. On the upside, gasoline prices fly upward. And on the downside, despite crude oil being down like 40%, we have not seen it at the pumps. Part of that in Illinois, I will tell you, is taxes on oil, gasoline, that make us one of the higher priced gasoline states.
Well, in Chicago, we have a summer blend too, don't we? I mean, we have a kind of gasoline.
There's an excuse. We're going into the summer blend, so that's caused shortages, so we're going to have to push prices up. And then when we come out of the summer blend, there's an excuse. We have to switch back to the original blend. That'll delay the refineries.
But isn't gas cheaper right now than it was a year ago? Gas at the pump.
Oh, yes, it's definitely cheaper than it was a year ago.
More business news with Terry after this business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. New stats show unemployment in the Chicago metropolitan area is nearing a record low. The Illinois Department of Employment Security says the Chicago, Naperville, Arlington Heights area had an unemployment rate of 3.2% in May. The record is 3% in November of 2019. The city of Chicago unemployment rate stands at 3.6%. The low mark for the city was 3.3% in 2019. Despite the low unemployment rate, federal data shows the state and metro still haven't regained all of the jobs lost during the COVID pandemic. Illinois farmers could lose billions if drought conditions don't subside soon. 99% of the state is currently dry or in drought. Damage from the drought could result in a corn crop yield reduction of 20% compared to a normal year, but that's only if the area gets some rain soon. If there's no rain, the crop yield could be reduced by 40 to 50%. The 20% reduction would translate into nearly $2.5 billion in lost revenue. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The Business of Food and Steve Alexander.
Thank you. And did you have one of these dads, the impatient ones, who, when you weren't moving fast enough, would yell,
"Get the lid out!"
Or maybe it was your mom. Regardless, despite years of calls for baby food companies to
get the lid out,
the problem is still there. More about that after I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for being our sponsor. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. On our Business of Food hotline is
James Rogers, Director director of food safety research and testing at Consumer Reports.
Yeah, the last time Consumer Reports tested baby foods was in 2018, and more than half of the 50 baby foods tested had lead, arsenic, and cadmium in them. Well, they've tested again.
Seven of the products that we tested the last time to see if the manufacturers had done any better. And of the seven products, three of them were better. One of them, there was no change, but there were also three that got worse.
And these are some of the big name brands, aren't they?
Yes. The ones that got worse, the Hot Kid Baby Mum Mum Banana Teething Wafers, the Gerber Chicken Rice Dinner, and the Turkey Rice Dinner from Gerber. They were the ones that scored the worst this round.
We're talking about baby food here. Why is it taking so long for anything to change?
Well, our story, we talk about the responses from the manufacturers that we have received. Many of them will say that their products are safe.
And the baby food most likely to have heavy metals?
Is usually associated with rice as an ingredient and sometimes sweet potatoes as an ingredient.
And if the label says organic, that does not mean it's heavy metal free.
They're not. Because the organic label does not address that.
So, the advice to parents?
They should not panic because this is a long-term chronic issue. They should take data from our different testing stories and other consumer groups and inform themselves about what are the products they should avoid.
James Rogers, Consumer Reports Director of Food Safety Research and Testing. And you can see the full report at cr.org. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry, you were still looking up gas prices, are you?
Yeah, I was. And guess where I found the best explanation? Of course, our own WGNradio.com, which is such a great website and not only has podcasts of our conversations and all the shows, but look at this. Today, the Chicago area average price, $4.29. Now, I did look. Our lowest gas prices are under $4 of some places out in the suburbs, but the average, $4.29. It is higher than the U.S. average, which is $3.53. However, 1 year ago, today at $4.29, we were at $5.80 a gallon.
Wow.
How soon we forget. Yeah. Remember that it was the height of inflation. We'd had that double digit. That's when the Fed was, you know, blown away by inflation. $5.80 a year ago this week, now down to $4.29, still not as low as the national average. So whoever called and said, why aren't gas prices coming down? They have come down a lot. And you pointed that out. So I figured I'd get the numbers.
Thank you for that. This is Robert with Terry Savage. Robert, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey, Terry, really quick. I bought some T-bills on June 18th and Monday, but I have a confirmation number and everything like that, but they never took the funds out of my account. I don't know why, because I bought them before and they would take them out of account. Would you know why?
No, I wouldn't know why. And you need to go to your Treasury Direct account and make sure that those T-bills are actually in your account. And if you have a problem, I can, there, I have contacts there. So, but I, that should be out of there by now. It's a good
right.
week. Give it another couple of days and wait and see. But double check to make sure that you have the correct account listed. Did they take them out of your money market and you were thinking the money was coming out of your checking or something like that?
Oh, no, it's the same account. They've done it always in the past. This time,
always.
It's been already a few weeks and I just don't understand why. So I thought I'd call you.
Give it a little bit. We had that bank holiday on the Monday, June 19th. So give it another week before you check and then post on Ask Terry. Okay?
Go to Ask Terry at terrysavage.com or call us back in a week or so and keep us posted. Maybe somebody else is going through the same thing. And with that, Terry, Zoom with the president's speech in the first half hour of today's show. We're out of time.
Well, a reminder, T-bill, 6 month T-bill is now still trading over 5.4%. Chicken money pays off.
That's Terry Savage. TerrySavage.com and with us again next Wednesday. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, John.